talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And good Friday afternoon. Getaway Friday, Friday, October the 19th. You are tuned into the Exchange Club. Charlie Evers, Brandy Downs today. Marge will be back next week. She had an appointment to go to. How is everybody on this Friday?
Fit and fiddle.
Having just a fascinating conversation before we went on the air, Charlie was letting us know that there is a pillar that was supposed to be part of the Harding Memorial
right. That
is in LaRue.
It was damaged, and the American Legion in LaRue agreed that they would take good care of it and mount it and so forth.
LaRue.
In fact, I even talked to the man who had witnessed them re-erecting it, and they'd used an old-time wrecker. And this was a long time, actually, in the 20s. And the wrecker, the boom, bent down. They couldn't handle the weight, and they had to get something else in.
But you also were saying that they're buried very deep.
Yes. Yeah, 12 or 15 feet down. Of course, you see that memorial is built up above the ground.
Well, there's a lot of question did they really like each other at the end? Hmm. You know, he had his own little ways. Well, there was an article. Wasn't it in the Marion Star, Warren G. Trump?
Oh.
Yeah. That, you know, they have a lot of similarities. Hmm. That there was some action on the side, I guess, and that Harding did not want to be part of the League of Nations, and Trump does not want to be part of United Nations. So I don't know.
There is that similarity, yeah.
Well, but I don't. A lot of presidents were going out on the misses. I think more than not. Eisenhower did. Kennedy did. Clinton did. Johnson did.
Did Johnson?
Johnson did. Yeah, he had a mistress the whole time.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if Nixon or Ford or Reagan, but the other ones did, sure.
Hmm.
Trump now. Trump joins that category.
Jimmy Carter didn't.
Well, we don't know, but he lusted in his mind. Do you remember that interview? He was asked if he ever lusted over another woman, and he said in his mind he did.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's nice when people can be faithful, but Harding was not. You know, a lot of them had women on the side. Why do you think that is, Brandy? Why do you think, from the women's perspective here, the women never seemed to wander off? I don't know that any... Franklin Roosevelt had affairs. Many of them died with his mistress. Why do a lot of powerful men go out on their women?
Because they have the ability to. But I don't think it's fair either to assume that the women weren't also doing something.
Exactly.
People don't look generally like...
I don't think Eleanor Roosevelt was doing anything.
If she's not the president, they're not looking at her in the same way that they're looking at the president himself. And there's a weird sort of assumption in our society, especially, you know, before our current decade, that women didn't have the same drive as men do. And so they just assume that women are being faithful when they're
not
always.
So you don't think they were?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not I'm not trying to imply that any of them weren't.
Just because they were president was an attraction for women.
Right, but I don't know
to
that
get close to the president.
Was First Lady an attraction for a male? I don't think that would be. I think it would be in somebody's papers by now that we would have seen that there was some...
You mean if Hillary was president, that some man wouldn't be after her?
Well, that's First Lady is what I'm... I don't think any of the First Ladies
went
out on their husbands.
I think there were certainly men who were attracted to Jackie Kennedy, right?
Oh, yes,
and there are certainly men who
I've seen
be very strange about Melania Trump, you know, and... Boy, so I don't think we can necessarily assume that they don't take advantage of this.
Oh, Melania is a walking model.
I think if Melania was doing something, it would be in the news.
Well, there have been rumors
what
of channel's Melania.
That?
There have been rumors that Melania was having a Trump, having a Trump.
Oh, he's on your mind.
Having an affair with the bodyguard or the driver, right?
Oh. No, I had not heard this. Had you, Charlie?
Just rumors. I'm not saying it happened. Yeah. I have no idea one way or another, but there are rumors that she has.
Oh,
had
I
affairs.
Don't think
but
she
how
is.
Could there be anyone more attractive than her?
Melania?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think there have been other who were more attractive than her.
You'd search a long time.
So she's your ideal woman, Charlie. Melania Trump.
Why? You want to get me in trouble?
No, but that's what you just said, wasn't it? I mean, I know. I think you already said that.
I mean, she is the... Well, there's men, too, that are just perfect in their whatever.
Yeah, I mean, she's a model. Yeah, she's a good-looking woman. But I think there have been a lot of good-looking first ladies who weren't matronly. Jackie Kennedy would be one of those people.
Well, she was very similar.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And I think, a lot of them were older when they got to the job, like Nancy Reagan and Barbara Bush. You know, they were older. A lot of people thought Hillary was good looking in her younger days.
And Nancy Reagan was a second wife of Ronald.
Michelle Obama, a lot of people thought she was very good looking and fit and well. So there have been a few of them, but I don't know that they've ever had affairs. That's what I don't know. I think if Melania really was having an affair, I think it'd be all over the MSNBC.
It wouldn't take long.
They couldn't handle the coverage. It'd be the biggest thing in the world. But I don't believe Florence had affairs.
Who knows?
I think Dr. Sawyer. I think her and Dr. Sawyer, if there was an affair going...
You think so?
It could have been.
He was kind of an ugly duck.
Well, she wasn't exactly Miss Universe. Does that matter?
Looks?
Yeah, looks.
Well,
does
not
the look
always.
Matter?
I mean, there
it
are...
It was power. Isn't that what we're... These
yes.
men weren't exactly the most beautiful people
That's
in
what
the
I
world.
Two famous Marian men. I can't say... what am I thinking? Henry True.
Yes.
Henry True, have you ever seen his picture?
Yeah.
He was something.
But a lot of men with money attract...
That's it. Money.
Money and power.
That's
money
right.
Money and power.
Money speaks.
Well, I mean, look at the president. I mean, he's been out with quite a few women who were good-looking, I think, women and younger and so on and so forth. And do you think he's a treasure?
No.
Money attracts.
Yes, money attracts. It
but
does.
But it doesn't attract everybody. It attracts... certain people.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. See, that's what I can't figure out. I can't figure... Because these were consent... I'm not talking about the non-consensuals. Those will get you in trouble. I'm talking about... As far as I know, all the presidential extracurricular activities have been consensual. So what is it that draws these women in? Like Nan Britton. She was writing letters. She was obsessed with President Harding.
Well, look at all the women that are attracted to movie actors.
Well, look at all the women who are attracted to serial killers.
That's
I
right.
Mean,
so it's they're mental is what you're telling me.
Well,
all these women
I mean,
are mental. They have some mental...
There are people in this world, men and women, who for whatever reason fixate on some person... That speaks to something within them. I don't know always what it is, but I certainly think that when you're fixated on a president, there's power involved. There may be money involved.
Power.
But there is, you know.
But do you think you're going to get the power? In the history of the country, no president has ever left their wife.
I don't think that it's about, there probably are some who delude themselves into thinking that he's going to leave his wife, but certainly not all of them. And I don't think it's necessarily about having him leave his wife. I think it's about catching the eye of somebody with that amount of power. It makes you feel powerful to say, this person who is at the top of our government wants me. That's what it is. It feeds into some insecurity in them that says, I am wanted.
Well, they should go to the psychiatrist then and see if they can get that insecurity worked out. See, this goes back to Charlie's favorite subject, the supreme race, the perfect race. Now, people like that would be weeded out as nut jobs, and they would be in homes.
It's
right?
Interesting. When we were kids, we often called each other morons. And I found that term came about from the eugenic movement. People that weren't quite normal were all labeled as morons.
Well, look at these people who had the relationships with the president on the side. I mean, I don't know that they were dumb people. I don't even know why they did what they did.
They're not even abnormal. I think it's normal in all of us to want to be wanted. And I don't know what drive... You'd have to be close to the president, first of all, to even think that you had a chance, right? It's not like, for example, and I hate to bring her up at all, but Monica Lewinsky, it wasn't like she was living in Idaho and writing letters to President Clinton, right? She was in his sphere, and that's what happened. She wanted to be wanted by this man. It might not have even needed to be President Clinton. It just happened to be, and he was powerful, and he took advantage of it. She's not abnormal. I mean, there's nothing abnormal
about... Well, she's
about...
had trouble getting work.
Yeah, but that's... But that's not abnormal either for somebody who's been...
No, I feel bad for Monica. I've said that before. I feel bad for... I think she's been bullied. I think she's never gotten over it. Everybody else was allowed to go on from that scandal but her.
Well, not Hillary really either.
Oh, we talked about that last week. They're still beating Hillary above the head and shoulders. How can she keep her husband in? I mean, what are you supposed to do? Chain him to the desk?
Hmm.
Bill just had
have trouble with her husband?
Oh, I think the desk is not where you'd want to chain him.
Why don't you know where the Secret Service knew all about this? And the Secret Service is there. I mean, what an awful thing. Horrible, horrible stuff. But anyway, how did we get on that?
I don't know. It must be a carryover from
talking about Florence and Harding.
Yeah.
Whether or not
they really love
each other.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody tells me they didn't. All the biographers say that they think he was really in love with Carrie Phillips.
Well, none of us were there to see and to experience what... All we know is what people have written, right?
Right, but I guess you have to deduce from that.
And to write a good book, you got to make it colorful.
Well, but that's what they laid on Nan Britton all those years, and here it comes out, she was... writing the truth.
Well, yeah.
It was not only colorful, it was true.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not really unheard of. I mean, look at Charles and Camilla, right? So it
yeah,
wouldn't
there's
be,
a...
Because
yeah.
when you... If you get to a certain point in your political career or whatever where you're in office, there is a certain danger to your career if you have built yourself as the family man or an ethical person or whatever, and then you decide to divorce and marry your mistress, that's not going to go... I don't know that it would matter as much in this day and age, but back then, it would not have gone over
well. I could never figure what he saw in Camilla.
But he didn't want to marry Diana to begin with. He got
right.
forced into that.
He did?
He loved Camilla. He,
yes,
that's
he did.
Who he wanted to marry.
Correct.
And so when he got forced into it... So I can't blame him for that because I don't think he ever claims he did love Diana.
No, I'm not trying to blame. I'm just saying there is some precedent for the idea that a powerful person could fall in love with somebody who is not their spouse and then not leave because they're required, or they feel required to stay.
But he did end up leaving. He left her before she died, was killed.
Yes.
Princess Diana.
Yeah.
They were separated.
But again, different time than... Warren G. Harding.
Well, I think he was hiding. You know, I don't think, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but I would say that I would tend to believe that when you have a 15-year affair, that's a little more than a fling.
Yes.
That's a long mm-hmm. time. And to be writing those letters that he was writing, are there any letters? Did he ever write Florence a letter?
In fact, that's going to be one of my questions today. Name the lawyer who was the guardian of Carrie Phillips.
I know that.
Oh. Okay.
I interviewed his son.
Oh, is that right?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did. But it's interesting to me because you never find love letters. Harding was this great love letter writer to Nan Britton and Carrie Phillips, but he never wrote any to Florence. Is there any love letters that he wrote to Florence?
Well, supposedly there are.
Did she burn
them? A long story.
To Florence?
I ran into a lady who...
That was Nan Britton, right?
She had letters from
Florence to Nan
Harding from Warren to Nan.
But I'm saying there's no love letters from Harding to his wife.
Oh. Why would there be?
Well, didn't he have to woo her at some point?
Oh, you mean before they were married?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was this great letter writer. He never wrote one to her.
Hmm.
See, that's where it all comes down. Who are you communicating with? Look what we've learned from those letters.
Just think, if there had been email at that time.
Oh, he would have been an email. Oh, he would have had carpal tunnel on his fingers.
Yeah.
From all the emails he would have had to have written. Now, here's an interesting subject, just to follow over from last week, the whole Harding home memorial thing. We did get in contact with Sherry Hall. There is no procedure for taking pictures. If you want to take a picture, you can take a picture. But if you want to get married, if you want to have an event there, contact them, and they will help you arrange that. So that's the way to do it.
So they would be able to tell you how to...
They would help you. They would work with you in setting that up. And that's where the conversation with Marge this morning came up about marriage, because who would want to be married at somebody's gravesite? I know people have, but...
Well, you don't think of it as a gravesite. You think of it as a national memorial, a presidential memorial, and not as a grave.
But it is a
grave. It is.
It is a grave.
But that's not the,
No, I mean, I think it's become a landmark and...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but why do you want to be married there? Go to the park. Go to the park. Or the Justice of the Peace. Or Jack Kellogg told me he married tons of people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I think that's good. Have the mayor marry you. Or
That's interesting. How does the mayor, is it automatic that he becomes an eligible...
Must be.
Vow giver?
Must be.
I don't know. Does he have to register here in Ohio? Because our clergy all have to...
But I don't think they're considered clergy. I think
no, but even
the legal
to perform
process,
to perform marriages.
Well, you probably
be a registered officiant here in Ohio, right?
They probably register. I think they become a justice of the peace, like the sheriff in a lot of towns used to marry people.
Yeah.
So there you go. But I don't see a whole lot of people getting married there anymore. There used to be a lot more people getting married there than
publicized. Maybe that's why we don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, you can get married there if you want to. If you want to get married there, all you got to do is contact the home, and they'll help you with all that interesting stuff.
With decorations and stuff?
I don't know if they'll put the bells up or not.
So there was all this hubbub about them not following procedure, and now we find out there was no procedure. So what was the hubbub?
Good question. Nobody knows.
No, nothing was posted to let anyone know there.
And apparently, photographs are not a problem. So I'm not really sure what happened that day. I don't know. Maybe it was just a big miscommunication, I think, is what happened. But we won't have that problem anymore. But Charlie had asked about gas prices, so I did a little research on this.
Yes.
Okay. Here's how the price of gas is made in towns. Now, in Ohio, it is set. There are four things that go into making up the gas price. Most of it is the cost of crude oil. 68% of the gas price is crude oil. It's $1.35 a gallon.
That's your basic.
Right, $1.35 a gallon in Ohio. And then you have your taxes, which are the same in Ohio everywhere, 38.4 cents a gallon. So that's how you get 80% of your gas price. What's changing it is distribution and marketing. That's what makes up the remaining 20%. So if gas prices are higher in Marion, it's probably because of that 20% of distribution and marketing. And if they want to charge more, maybe it's because they're not selling as much.
Well, yesterday the gasoline was $2.55 in Bucyrus. Today it's $2.70-something here. So that's quite a difference.
But is it still $2.55 in Bucyrus?
Well, it was last night.
Right. I guess it's taxes, marketing, and distribution.
My big thing is, what does that say about Marion? When people come here and the price is higher than elsewhere, does that give Marion I'm proud to be in Marion. Look how I'm paying more for my gasoline. Boy, I really like that. No, we are missing a lot of gasoline sales. People that work out of Marion naturally fill up before they come back here.
Well, I think that must... I don't know how that could be true, because the theory would be if they were selling less gas, they would lower the price. But since they are selling a lot of gas, they hike the price.
Something like that.
I think, well, I mean, you just have to look at the sides of town. Like, Route 95 is always about 10 cents higher than Delaware Avenue.
Yeah.
And the reason would be more people are filling up on Route 95 than they are on Delaware Avenue.
But doesn't Delaware Avenue, there's a little more competition there, too, because the Kroger on Delaware, you can
right.
get your
yeah, discount.
Your
that
Kroger
too.
Point. Yeah. yeah. And so the gas stations there have to compete with the Kroger where so, everyone gets their discount.
So it's marketing. So what? I wonder what the gas was on Delaware Avenue. If it was 75 here, it was probably 65 over on Delaware Avenue.
Maybe somebody would let us know. But anyhow, Galleon also has the same price usually as Bucyrus, 20 and 30 cents below ours all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think they must not be selling as much gas. That would have to be the reason.
You'd think they would charge more if they weren't selling to in order to...
Well, I think you charge more when you're selling less. Or you charge more when you're selling more, because then they have to buy it there. Because you're obviously people aren't being turned off.
They're trying to bring people in Galleon.
Yeah, they got
to
get them here, so they're going to offer it at a lower price. Because they're losing money on that. They're losing the 10 cents that Marianne's making. And look at Route 95. The gas stations are always busy. It's not like people aren't going there. So I think that's... But that's the reason why. 80% of it is not controlled
so
by the city.
So in marketing, it's more expensive to market to this side of Marion than the other side.
Because I think more people live there, more people shop there.
Is there a different gasoline distributor?
I would doubt it. I would doubt it because, like you said, it all goes into crude oil and taxes. That's 80% of the price, and that's flat across the state. $1.35 a gallon for crude oil and 38.4 cents per gallon, and that's the taxes. So that's 80% right there. So gas is going to cost you right now at least $1.35 and 38 cents. It's never going to go below that because that's the set price with taxes and crude oil. That's before any profits ever made on it.
Add that together, and what would they make that the average price then?
$1.70. Yeah.
Okay, then why was it $2.55 yesterday in Bucyrus?
Because they do have that's profit. They're paying $1.73 to just get it there. Anything above that's profit for them. That's the profit margin.
Okay.
So that's the deal. But it's never going to go below that right now because that's what it's costing them to have it here.
Can you imagine what that means to a trucker? Anyone who has like 50-gallon gas tanks? Woo!
That's
boy.
A big thing. Well, that's the answer to a question. Now let's see. This was interesting because this comes to ageism. They interviewed Joe Biden this week because everybody thinks he's going to run for president. And they asked him if he was too old because he would be 78 on Election Day 2021, which would be the day he'd be sworn in. And he said that's a concern, that he'd be too old. Is that too old to run?
Depends on the individual, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe. That's quite a jump. I mean, the oldest president we've ever elected now is Trump, and he was 70, and now he would be 78. If he completed two terms, he'd be 86 years old.
Wow.
That's a stressful job.
How old
I don't
is
know
that, DeWine?
72.
72. Now, the governorship, is that 4 years or two?
Four.
Four.
But I don't know. You think that's too old, Brandy? Too old for this man to run?
No. I mean, I think we do have to consider very carefully the vice president at that point and make sure it's somebody just in case. But no, I don't think you're ever too old to run for president if that's
no,
what
we
you
can't discriminate.
Do. No.
Well, no, you can do what you can do what you want to do, but you know I believe the federal government's retirement age mandatory is 65, but not for president.
Or Congress.
Or Congress or senators.
There are plenty of people in Congress right now well into their 80s.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, but I don't know. President to me would seem like a stressful job. You've got to be awake a lot. You've got to be flying, got to do a lot of travel. You've got to be around a lot of people. I think that'd be a very difficult job.
I think he's used to it. I mean, he's served in government for a very long time. I don't think it would be that much of a stretch. I don't know.
Well, if he wants to, he can. I mean, I don't know if it'll work against him or not. I think it will work against him.
Yeah.
I think there will be people who say he's too old and they won't vote for him because of that. And that's what you don't want when you're trying to...
But how old will he be if he does run for president?
He would be 77 while he was running and 78 yeah. when he was elected.
Yeah.
Well, you might see it out on the campaign trail. That's, I mean, look at the toll it took on the last two. One was 70 and one was 69. You know, Hillary got sick in the park there, and Trump was, you know, there were moments where he was a little tired looking. It's a rough job. Look at all the presidents when leave. They got all that gray hair, and they're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if up in age should be having that job.
Can you imagine trying to go to sleep at night or waking up in the morning thinking of all that's ahead of you or behind you?
Twitter.
Or?
Oh. Twitter. Thinking about Twitter. What am I going to tweet next? Well, this is an interesting subject. I think it was Louis Farrakhan tweeted something very negative toward Jewish people. Mm. But Twitter would not suspend him because there's no policy, they say, that allows for this.
They hadn't yet implemented the policy that they said they would put in place.
Well, I don't know.
That was their excuse.
But is that an infringement on free speech? That's the question. That everybody's having.
Twitter is a private company. You don't have a right to use somebody else's platform. It's not the government. Only the government can infringe your free speech. I mean, that's...
Except if you're ordering a wedding cake and you're gay.
Yeah, that's right. There's a little...
Well, that's different. That's discrimination. That's not about... If you're discriminating against somebody based on...
Yeah, but if you said what Farrakhan said right now...
I would hope they would ban me.
Well, but is that an infringement upon your First Amendment right? Is that a First Amendment case?
No, he can go out in the street and shout it if he wants to.
Right.
You don't have a right to use Twitter or Facebook or anything else.
You don't. You're right. Are the public airwaves. But they're jumping on this guy, and Twitter did not ban him. So why are they jumping on him? He does not have a rule that says you can't do that. So why are they jumping on the Twitter man?
Farrakhan has a bad reputation to begin with.
Well, yeah.
Very bad.
What he said is awful. Nobody's agreeing with what he said. But if it was, why are people calling for him to be banned if the guy who runs Twitter did not ban him?
Well, because, again, this is a moment where you can use your power as a consumer to change something that you believe is wrong. And I think that's what they're trying to do. And it sounds like, to me, from what I've read, that Jack from Twitter is, in fact, going to implement policy where you can't say what Farrakhan said.
That's his name?
Yes, his name is Jack.
Jack from Twitter. Write him a letter. Jack at Twitter.
But you cannot... He couldn't ban him yet because the policy hadn't officially been implemented.
But just think what they'll have to have eventually, a censorship policy.
Well, that's the thing.
Remember the movies shown in our theaters all had to be approved by the Ohio, whatever they call it, censorship?
Well, the FCC garners what we say right now. There are certain words we cannot say.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things you cannot do. But that's because broadcast is not free speech. Broadcast is governed by a federal government. And that comes to the question, if the internet is the Wild West, which is what it is considered, there's no regulation, then why can't he say that? What's going to stop him from going to another website and posting that?
Nothing. And he will.
Right, but I don't understand why, I don't support the comment, but I would just ignore the comment. I don't understand why we have got to ban him for doing that.
Well, it's hard, it'd be a long thing, but back years ago, like we were talking about, back when if you weren't up to snuff, if you had a mental problem, you could be sterilized. Now, can you imagine anybody being sterilized today?
Well, I mean, think just politics, which trying to avoid today, but I mean, think of the stuff that is said on Twitter about the president. Is there any do you revere that office anymore? Not really. Look at the stuff that's said about Bill and Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is awful stuff, and I don't agree with all that stuff, but it's your right to say it.
Facebook probably has some of the worst.
Absolutely, some of the worst. And I think that's the question. You, free speech is there to protect unpopular speech. It's not there to protect popular speech, because popular speech doesn't need protecting.
But it's also not there to protect hate speech. And there's a difference between saying, you know, something negative about Donald Trump, who has... I'm not advocating that in any way, shape, or form, but... You know, that when you're not, as long as you're not breaking the law and threatening him, he has Secret Service protection and all of these things around him. But to say things about an entire group of people.
But he didn't
if
threaten
you
them.
Are, no, he didn't threaten them. But it goes to, it's the beginning of the dehumanization process that then makes people feel permitted to harm these other people. And if you have a following and you know, people who listen to everything you say, like Farrakhan does, you get into very dangerous territory when you're trying to dehumanize or demonize an entire group of people because of your own personal prejudice.
But here's where the problem comes in, though. Then comedians get in trouble because then the stuff they say becomes bad.
And they get banned from Twitter.
Right. Can't people just read something and say, okay, that's crazy talk, and just go away?
But there are people who don't. That's the problem.
Well, then they're nuts.
The mayor of Crestline recently resigned.
He used a horrible word.
Used the N-word several times.
But a word that used to be on radio 30 years ago, we could have said the N-word, but you can't now. Now it's one of the words you can't say.
And yet among the black population, they call each other that word.
But this man was an elected official. Nobody's putting him in jail. The pressure is for him to resign because his people don't like what he said, and I think they're right to do so. But they're not banning him from saying it. If he wants to say it and sound like a fool, he's allowed to do that, unfortunately. But we're saying Farrakhan should not. We're going to block your access.
And we don't have to.
You're blocking his access in one avenue. It's not.
Isn't that the point, though?
It's not that he can't go somewhere else and say it. And I think that a company has a right to set standards for their community. You're using their intellectual property.
Yeah, but here's the Louis Farrakhan's in his 80s. Mm-hmm. Do we not know by now how he feels about Jewish people? He's told us 70,000 different ways.
But why should we have to tolerate it because he's old?
He's been saying it since he was young.
Right.
He's been saying this a long time. What I'm saying is that Twitter is a private company, but the Twitter jack did not see fit to ban him. But now we're all piling on Jack and saying, well, you should, and you should, and you should. Isn't it his business that he didn't ban him for whatever reason he used?
Yeah, it is his business. And I think that if you are somebody who uses his business, you know, it's...
See, that's wrong. I disagree with that.
There's, you know, you have... Jack is dependent...
Is he the last name?
On the people.
Jack Twitter?
Yeah, no, what's it's not name? Twitter. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but yes, he has a last name. But, you know, I mean, he's dependent somewhat. He wouldn't be Jack from Twitter if he didn't have any people using Twitter. And so you get into this sort of dynamic of, and it does not, it's not just people wanting to ban Louis Farrakhan. There are plenty of people.
That's where it's going to start.
On the other
and
side,
that's,
who,
that's,
you know.
That's where it'll start with Farrakhan. You know, what did they say in World War II? They said, well, first they came for the Jewish people, and I didn't say anything. And then they came for the Muslim people, and I didn't say anything. And then they came for the African Americans, and I didn't say anything. Then they came for me. You know, and that's what happens. You have to, I think Martin Luther King Jr. had this right. Be peaceful, let people do what they want to do, But you don't have to buy into it. If you buy into their insanity, then you're insane.
There's no insanity in saying this was wrong and he...
No, that's right. But what's wrong with tweeting that back to him? You're nuts. You're insane. You've been anti-Semitic your whole entire life. Why not that?
Oh, well, I think there were people doing that.
But you can threaten to kill people on Twitter. They threaten to dismember people all the... Now, that's never blocked. That's worse to me than an anti-Semitic comment.
It is against their...
But at least we're not forced to read Twitter.
Yeah, but you know what? The whole problem with this is it's going into books now. Now they're rewriting To Kill a Mockingbird and banning it from schools.
They are?
Oh, yes. And they're doing all these things. And I'm not sure you should be doing that because that's free speech. And to act like that never existed, that's... changing history. Is Farrakhan right? No, Farrakhan's wrong. You should not be anti-Israeli. You should not be anti-Jewish. But if you follow him, you're going to continue to follow him. And if you think he's nuts, you're going to continue to think he's nuts. Whether he's on Twitter saying it doesn't mean anything. What's the big deal?
But it does mean something because it's yet another platform. Not everybody in the world even knows who Louis Farrakhan is. There are young people. Twitter is a platform of very young people, right? And there are young people now who are using Twitter who have never even heard of Farrakhan, who have no idea what he stands for. And they're seeing this comment, and there is a potential, we would hope they would be able to discern that it's nuts, but there is a potential that some of them will not be able to discern, and they will get... you know, then further drawn into this anti-Semitic line.
When the president tweets, like this week he called somebody horseface.
Horseface?
Horseface. Called Stormy Daniels horseface in a tweet. Called Hillary crooked. You know, the things he's done. Now, should he be banned from Twitter for being negative toward a group of people? Because a lot of people thought that was misogynistic, that he's always a crazy Maxine Waters, that he's very anti-woman, called her horse face. Now, should he be banned?
Didn't he call Elizabeth Warren...
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas.
Absolutely. So do we ban him as well? Because you can't do that, because that's a group of people.
There are certainly people who have been calling for him to be banned.
But Jack isn't hopping all over that one.
No, because Jack says that it's newsworthy. It's important for the president of the United States to be able to communicate with the world at large via Twitter. Whether you agree with it or not, that is what they've said.
But does it hurt women in the long run?
Well,
to have the most powerful man in the world,
yes,
calling somebody horse face.
Yes.
Okay, so then why is...
Did all the women hear that phrase?
A lot of them. It was all...
The women on Twitter certainly did.
But and isn't that the response, though? If you don't like what he said, don't retweet it and tweet to him, you know, I don't like it, you're being misogynistic. I just don't think that Louis Farrakhan is really giving people an education lesson on Israel when he tweets his insanity.
Well, you would hope not, but... there has been a very strange influx of hateful thought, especially here in Ohio. For some reason, it seems to take root very easily. Look, the white supremacy movement has a lot of hold here for whatever reason, and that is how they get their new recruits. Is that they say things that initially you're like, oh, that kind of makes a little bit of sense. And then you start following this person. You start listening to what they say. This is how they do it.
This is a good discussion to have because it's going to be the world we're going to live in from now on is the internet world. And it's interesting because in Cleveland, there used to be a city block, and I think it's gone now. But in the early days of broadcasting in Cleveland, there was a whole city block, and it was Scripps Howard. And it was an empty building, but all it said on the side was, show people the light and they will find their own way. Which meant if you have somebody on, which talk shows have done for years, Ku Klux Klan, anti-Semitic people, racist people, whatever, that you do that to show people that their ideas are antiquated and silly. you can't limit their speech, just like you wouldn't limit a Democrat, you wouldn't limit a Republican, you wouldn't limit somebody who is an atheist, you wouldn't limit a religious person. You can't tamper down on people's speech, because as long as they're within the realm of what you're allowed to do in broadcast, people are going to find anti-Semitic websites. If you want to be anti-Semitic, you're going to find it. I don't think because you heard it on the radio or because you saw it on Twitter that all of a sudden you were a perfectly normal person and all of a sudden you become anti-Semitic.
No, and that it's not an overnight thing. No, but what happens is they've gotten very smart. If you read the message boards that they use or even just go to the Southern Poverty Law Center and look at the work that they've done, they have shown that they are purposely trying to, quote unquote, infiltrate the normal culture by coming in with things that don't sound necessarily overwhelmingly right. They're not coming out right away with the pitchforks and the torches and saying,
no,
you know, only white people can live. No, they're saying things that they know appeal to younger people who feel, you know, left out or alone or whatever, and they slowly sort of, it's like grooming, right? When you're a sexual predator, you groom your victim, and they've learned this, and they're doing the same thing now.
But isn't the antidote to that not to silence the person with the antiquated thinking? Isn't the antidote to put the person on who says that?
Well, I hope. I mean, I'm not advocating for Louis Farrakhan to be muzzled ever.
Louis Farrakhan was on Donahue constantly in the 80s. He was on Larry King's show. He was the reason we know Louis Farrakhan is because he was a very sought out guest, because he was controversial.
Right. But when he's a guest, there is somebody there directly to push back against him.
Well, you can't push back on Twitter.
No, you can. But again, that's different. Like, if Donahue didn't want to have Louis Farrakhan on, right? He didn't have to have Louis Farrakhan on.
But like,
that's the same argument for Twitter.
But like Jack for Twitter, should they have went to Donahue and said, Donahue, we need to pull your advertising. You had Farrakhan on. Get off the air. Why'd you put that hate evil man on television?
There may very well have been. I don't know. I barely remember Donahue. But I think there might have been people writing to Donahue and saying, you know, how dare you? I would never.
Well, that's right. But I think that's the bad part of it. Because, you know, no matter how off people's thinking is, you should be allowed to say it. That's the First Amendment. It's the way it is.
Well, the other difference is it was Donahue himself taking on Farrakhan, right? Jack isn't out there saying.
Doesn't he have a Twitter?
He does have a Twitter, but he generally, he could, but he doesn't, right? He would be busy 24 hours a day if he had to retweet to everybody or tweet at everybody who said something vile on Twitter.
I don't know, though, because Charlie, here's what when people sit there and argue with each other, I don't know that anything comes of that. Now, I think when you question somebody, then they start to lose their, you know, appeal. Because if you have antiquated thinking, it's hard to answer a question. I remember I had on Jason Kessler, the Charlottesville guy, and people did not like that I had him on. But his thinking was antiquated, and when you asked him something, he didn't make a whole lot of sense. We had that guy in Illinois on who's running he's got the congressional thing over there. Who people, they think he's anti-Semitic. I don't know that putting him on harmed people. I think it made them say, oh, yeah, he is.
But that's,
crazy.
Again, a one-on-one thing. It's totally different with Twitter. It's not one-on-one with Twitter.
So internet should have guardrails.
I don't know if the internet should have guardrails. All I'm saying is I think it's fair for people to say, we don't want this to be allowed on Twitter, which is what they're doing.
What do you think, Charlie? Is the internet eventually going to have to be regulated?
I signed up on Twitter years ago and forgot my password, so I've never
never saw those Farrakhan
tweets. I've never
tweets.
Gone back to Twitter
well,
since.
Well, I think it's an ineffective way to communicate because it used to be fewer characters, and it was really stupid stuff people were putting up there. It was how easily can I insult you? How can I say something funny? In so many characters. So I think Twitter, it should just be abolished altogether. I think Jack should be put out of work.
I think the president would like to have a word with you about that.
Well, we can talk.
But the thing is, you don't have to read Twitter if you don't want. I mean,
that's what I think.
It's like punishing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. If you don't want to, don't you have to follow Louis Farrakhan to get his tweets?
Not necessarily, because people can retweet them if your followers retweet it.
And if,
or if your followers follow him and they like his tweet, it will pop up on your feed whether you follow him or not.
But isn't the irony, how many people really saw his tweet? But because so many people called for it to be banned, now everybody knows about his tweet.
I don't know. I don't know how many followers he has because I don't follow him.
Right, but have any of your friends retweeted it?
No.
What if they did? Would you block them?
Well, I don't. If they were retweeting it in support, we would have to talk.
I don't know. I just think that that people get so worked up over yes, it's anti-Semitic. Yes, it's wrong, but.
But if you were a Jewish person, wouldn't you feel differently about it?
People say nasty stuff about me. I just roll it off the back of my head. I don't even think about it.
On the other hand, think of the Irish and the Italians, how they were put down for years.
Archie Bunker, yeah. The stuff he said on that show, on national number one show for 5 years, should he have been censored back and said, you can't say that because, yes, you're trying to be funny, but there are people in the country who don't think that's funny.
But again, All in the Family was not just saying, it wasn't the Archie Bunker show. There was always a counterpoint to Archie on that show, always.
But years later, and that was an interesting discussion today. Years later, Carol O'Connor, who portrayed Archie, who was left-wing liberal, everything that Archie Bunker wasn't, he was asked on a talk show, you can YouTube this, by Bob Costas. And there were a lot of people who said, yes, you were portraying this bigot. Yes, you were portraying him as an idiot. Yes, there was a counterpart. But a lot of people were watching that and going, give it to him, Archie. You're right, Archie. And you know, Carol O'Connor said, that may be right. I might have done a bad thing. Because Archie was the biggest character in the show.
His chair sits in the Smithsonian in Washington.
And it became okay to be him. As much as you watched it and thought that the counterpoint was right, there were people watching that who thought Archie was right.
Right.
And the same thing with Farrakhan, but we didn't censor Archie. So, I don't know. I didn't know people were still following Farrakhan. Isn't he about 90 now?
I have no idea.
I think it's more troubling that he is suspected to have ordered the hit of Malcolm X than whatever he's tweeting now. Nonsensic. There's other people who tweet anti-Semitic stuff, and I don't know that we're banning them. Is it because he's a big deal?
Well, we are hopefully banning some of them, but I think the thing to take away from this is that there are people who are not anti-Semitic in the world. It's become a thing where you are going to be berated if you're expressing these thoughts. And that's what I hope that people will see, is that there are people who are going to stand up and say, no, this is wrong, get out.
You know, we're going to end on that note. And next week, only two shows left till the election. Oh,
yeah.
Oh man. How you feeling, Brandy?
We have to talk about
do you see the blue wave coming?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Charlie doesn't.
No way.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean,
we've only got about... What is it, 16, 17 days to go here?
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
It's going to be close. I don't know about here in Ohio.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Next week, who knows what will happen between, who knows, maybe Farrakhan will throw out another tweet and we'll have another whole discussion on this program. Charlie Evers, what's trivia this afternoon, right, Charlie?
A little bit of everything.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM.